वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 17 टेक्स्ट नंबर 15। वर्णानाम् आश्रमाणां च जन्मभूम्यनुसारिणीः आसन् प्रकृतयो नृणाम् नीचैर्नीचोत्तमोत्तमाः वर्णानामाश्रमाणां च जन्मभूम्यनुसारिणीः आसन् प्रकृतयो नृणाम् नीचैर्नीचोत्तमोत्तमाः वर्णानामाश्रमाणां च जन्मभूम्यनुसारिणीः आसन् प्रकृतयो नृणाम् नीचैर्नीचोत्तमोत्तमाः। आसन् प्रकृतयो नृणाम् आसन् प्रकृतयो वर्णानाम् ऑफ द ऑक्युपेशनल डिविजन्स आश्रमाणाम् ऑफ द सोशल डिविजन्स च ऑल्सो जन्म ऑफ बर्थ भूमि द सिचुएशन अनुसारिणी according to asan appeared prakritayah the natures nrinam of human beings nichaihi by inferior background nicha inferior nature uttama by superior background uttamaha superior natures translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The various occupational and social divisions of human society appeared according to inferior and superior natures manifest in the situation of the individual's birth. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the Brahmanas and Sannyasis, being situated on the head of the universal form of the Lord, are considered to be the most qualified. Whereas, the Shudras and Grihasthas, being on the legs or loins of the personality of Godhead, are considered to be in the lowest position. A living entity is born with a certain amount of intelligence, beauty and social opportunity, and he is therefore situated in a particular occupational and social position within the Varnashram system. Ultimately, such positions are external designations. But since the majority of human beings are conditioned by the external energy of the Lord, they should act according to the scientific Varnashram divisions until they reach the stage of Jivan Mukta, or liberated life. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we are continuing with the topic of this 11th canto, which is talking about, in this section, about the Varnashram division of social arrangement. Many devotees have already spoken about it, and as we understand, this is the most scientific way to divide society without any discrimination, without any exploitation. As yesterday, Brajmohan Prabhu was speaking. Brajmohan Prabhu, yesterday? Vasudev Prabhu, huh? He said how classification has to be there. Every situation, every organization, in every institution, you find people are classified according to the work they do. So similarly, in overall society, it is foolishness to imagine a situation where there are no classes. We can never have a totally classless society. But what we can eliminate is the exploitation that arise from a discriminative society with various classes. That's what we are trying to avoid and eliminate. But in order to eliminate the exploitation, we can't avoid the structure and division of a society. So many philosophers, many thinkers have come up with various ideas of how to have such a society where there is proper division and there is no exploitation. But our acharya explain that unless we adopt Krishna's system of division, Chatur Varnem Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha, if you don't adopt this system of division, then any other system of division may give you only temporary results and won't be highly effective and won't be non-exploitative. So when we adopt Krishna's system and follow the regulations and rules, then everything can go smoothly, and ultimately every member of the society can achieve the ultimate perfection of life, which is liberation from the material cycle of birth and death. So here today we'll try to discuss how there are various Varnashram is a hotly discussed topic nowadays, especially in our devotee circle and ISKCON circles. So based on what Prabhupada has mentioned in various places, we will try to see the various types of advantages, disadvantages, what we can do from our position in establishing the Varnashram system. Those few thoughts we will try to discuss today. So in various places Prabhupada talks about Varnashram, and in various contexts, and when he uses the term Varnashram, there are various connotations to it. In one conversation with Professor Kotovsky, the famous professor of Russia, he talks about Varnashram, and there he says the Kshatriyas, this Varnashram system is prevalent everywhere in society, in some form or the other. Take for example the Brahmanas, the most intelligent class, they are the brains of the society. The Kshatriyas are the arms, the administrative class. The Vaishyas are the productive class. And the Shudras are the labor class. So if you go to any society in any part of the world, in any country, this division is there everywhere. Which means Varnashram exists already everywhere. But this Varnashram is not the perfect arrangement of Varnashram, because it is not exactly keeping Krishna in the center and not following Krishna's instruction. It is happening somehow or the other. We can call it spontaneous Varnashram or maybe whimsical Varnashram. Somehow the division is going to happen, and we can broadly classify the society in these four divisions, but not organized Varnashram. So that way Varnashram is there, but it is spontaneous. And it is not going to yield the perfect results of Varnashram if it is not scientifically based. So that kind of mention Prabhupada makes in several places. So because it is already there, why try to artificially eliminate Varnashram system and eliminate all classes? All we need to do is organize it nicely, understand the purpose of this division, and make sure no one is exploited. That way we can get the best benefit out of this social division. Then Prabhupada uses the term Varnashram to indicate materialistic division of society, where the system of Krishna, the system that Krishna has described, is implemented, but without the essence of obtaining the ultimate goal of life. So the four social orders, four spiritual orders are there. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra is there in society, and all the external form of Varnashram is strictly followed. All the rituals and the yajnas and dhyana tapa, yajna dhyana tapa kriya, everything is followed, but without focusing on getting the ultimate goal of life, pure love of God. That essence is missing. That kind of Varnashram is materialistic. And in the Bhagavatam, such a Varnashram system is condemned. In the first canto, we find this verse. Dharma svanushtita pumsam vishvaksena kathasuya na utpadaye yadiratim shramaye vahi keva. So all this broad, elaborate arrangement of Varnashram division is at best will give us some happy life in this world, pious credits, but will not help us get out of the cycle of birth and death. So that is also there, that kind of Varnashram Prabhupada criticizes several times, saying we don't bother about Varnashram, we want to transcend the Varnashram system. And Krishna also tells Arjuna in the Gita, Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna. Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunyo. So this Varnashram is materialistic in the sense they are influenced by the three modes of material nature. And even if it is existing in some form or the other, very soon it will degrade into an exploitative system and people will revolt, which is what happened in India after the degradation of the Brahmana class, after beginning of Kali Yuga. The Brahmana started, they became arrogant, Kshatriyas became exploitative, Vaishyas became greedy, and then Shudras rebelled and revolted. And then they started creating revolutions. And because the essence was lost, and every class of the social order is trying to exploit the other class. So that kind of Varnashram is also not recommended, not desirable. Then what is the best, which Prabhupada encourages, is the original Varnashram system, which we call it Daiva Varnashram. And the Vishnu Puran verse is there, the famous one. Varnashramacharavata Purushena Parappuman Vishnu Aradhyate Pantha Nanyat Tattoshakaranam. The Bhagavatam also says, Atapumbir Dujashreshta Varnashrama Vibhagasha Swanishtitasya Dharmasya Samsiddhir Haritoshanam. So this Varnashram, the original form, is meant, the society is divided into four classes and ashrams in order to Haritoshanam, Samsiddhir Harito, in order to satisfy Lord Hari, please Krishna. And if that is the goal, then the Varnashram is perfect, it is divine, and it is desirable, and everyone can remain happy and peaceful and march towards the perfection of life. So that was the original system that Krishna recommended, which was prevalent in society for several centuries until the beginning of Kali Yuga, after which it started degrading. So Prabhupada encouraged this kind of Varnashram system in several places, and when he said 50% of my job is pending to install a Varnashram system, this is the system that he wanted us to establish. So what is the special feature of this Varnashram? The members of society are not just offering the fruits of their activity to Krishna, but the very activity itself offered to Krishna. So that way, when the activity itself is offered to Krishna, then whether it is Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga or any other yoga, when the activity is offered to Krishna, then it becomes pure bhakti. So in the Gita, in the Mahabharata, you find the Pandava, the Kshatriyas, Arjuna and all, they are, from the Varnashram point of view, they are Kshatriyas. But because they are offering their fruits and the activity itself to Krishna, that Karma Yoga is as good as Bhakti Yoga. It is transcendental. So, tat tosha karanam. Tosha Prabhupada translates as to satisfy. So, Krishna is pleased by everyone, but he becomes satisfied when everyone come together cooperatively and work together to please him. Individually, if everyone is following his own duties, his or her duties, then it is pleasing. But together, united effort is there. And when there is a common goal, that is more pleasing to Krishna. So that satisfies Krishna. As we find in the fourth canto, the Prachetas are cooperating together. And Lord Vishnu tells, because of your cooperative effort, I am very pleased. So this is the Varnashram recommended, desirable Varnashram system. And Prabhupada highlighted certain special features that this Varnashram system should have, so that every living entity can get the ultimate goal of life, and we can also preach Krishna consciousness by the establishment of this Varnashram system. Ultimately, we want to spread Krishna consciousness, and if Varnashram system can help propagate the message of Krishna, then it is all the more desirable. So what are the special features of Prabhupada's Varnashram? Let us see all those points. So he says, in Kali Yuga, Prabhupada writes in the ninth canto, among the four ages, Satya, Treta, Dwapar and Kali, Kali Yuga is the worst, as you can experience. But if the process of Varnashram Dharma is introduced even in this age of Kali, the situation of Satya Yuga can be invoked. The Hare Krishna movement is meant for this purpose. So what is Prabhupada indicating here? He is indicating keeping Krishna in the center, pleasing Krishna. So what are the special features of this kind of Varnashram that we would like to establish? First, the division should not be based on birth. Not by birth, but by qualities, but by activities. And he quotes Narad Muni's instructions to Vyasadeva, how we should follow those principles in order to establish this Varnashram. Another feature of this Varnashram is the primary source of food should be land, living off the land, based on cows and agriculture. That should be the main occupation for the members. So here he says, get all your necessities from the land and grow your own food. Produce your own cloth. A society based on simple living and high thinking would favor spiritual advancement. And we are trying, our society is trying, several farm communities have come up all over the world and devotees are trying their best to produce their own food and produce their own necessities. Trying to minimize dependence on industrial production, factory production, which Prabhupada said is Ugra Karma. Unless there is no other option, we take to that. Otherwise, if we can produce our own food, cook our own food, offer that food to Krishna, then that is the best. Another feature he said this Varnashram system should have is a Varnashram college. So there are many schools and colleges to train students in various aspects of subjects. This Varnashram college, for example, should teach Vaishyas on vocational training. The Varnashram college would be for them somewhat like an agricultural university, where the members are taught farming and other aspects of agriculture. There will be plenty of hands-on instructions on how to apply this knowledge. And there should be training on cow protection, food production, crops. Even Shudra should attend this college, which was not a system in the traditional Varnashram. Shudras are not going to college, but in our system, in Prabhupada's system, Shudras also can go to college, this Varnashram college. They can learn in classroom how to be certain skills and other assistant labor, skilled labor, that they can be taught, which we are already seeing, right? In Govardhaniko village, they are taught certain plumbing and other aspects of living. So that is a part of Varnashram college education and training. Then Prabhupada said this Varnashram system should have small scale subsistence farming. What does it mean? Every farmer should have a small piece of land and he is maintaining his family by producing food from that land. Unlike like agribusinesses where one person, one company will own thousands of acres of land and produce food and then they will sell it off. And that person will become billionaire and other people will get the bare minimum income. But when the king is providing land to each farmer, small pieces of land, then such kind of business empires won't arise, which means there won't be exploitation. And the land cannot be resold. Next generation will continue using the land. So risk of unemployment reduces, risk of exploitation will reduce. That is one feature of this Varnashram. Another is economy based on agriculture and cow protection, which means no tractors, no machines to produce food, no chemical based farming, pesticides, chemical based pesticides, insecticides. A bull or oxen will be the main plowing instrument. And so there will be no slaughter houses won't be there. Animal slaughter will stop. Then cow-related products can be made. So there are so many advantages just because just when we start implementing one feature, then another feature of this Varanashram will be mutual respect between Varanas. In the traditional Varanashram system, when it started degrading, there was so much hatred between one class and its subordinate class. Brahmanas hating Kshatriya. In the first canto we find Sringi criticizing Parikshit, saying these are like watchdogs who are taking upon the property of their masters. He compared Parikshit to a dog. This kind of contempt and hatred is highly unhealthy for spiritual development, for the society's development. Prabhupada says, the Shudras are hated like anything. So they became Mohammedans. Now the result is that you have India and Pakistan, and they are going fighting constantly with each other. So in Prabhupada's, in our Krishna conscious Varanashram system, there should be mutual respect between each Varanas, between the members of each Varana, and appreciate each other's contributions. Then there should be protection for laborers. In industrial civilization, factory civilization, the laborers have to work several hours, 12, 15 hours a day, and in extremely unhealthy conditions. And the salaries they get is not at par with the work they put up. So here the test of good government is whether it can make everyone happy. Sarve sukhino bhavantu. And the laborers should be treated respectfully, friendly, and they should be provided all food, shelter, clothing, and basic necessities. Then using Varanashram as a preaching tool in our Prabhupada's Varanashram, this is one of the main features, to use Varanashram as a preaching tool. So in big scale, Prabhupada says, you cannot make Brahmanas and Sannyasis on a large scale. Most of the population will not take up Brahminical way of life, or they won't take up Sannyas Ashram. Most of them will be Grihasthas. And our Varanashram system should train such people. Somewhere I heard, if there is one Brahmana, there can be 10 Kshatriyas, 100 Vaishyas, and 900 Shudras. That's a population of 1200, 1100. This is the percentage. I don't know how authentic it is, but appears to be quite practical. One Brahmana guiding is maybe a population of 1000, 1500. And 10 Kshatriyas protecting, 100 people producing food, and rest others assisting everyone. This could be a percentage division of the society. So he says, so large scale Brahmana Sannyasis won't come up. But if we do it systematically, the whole mass of the people can benefit, even if they don't become Brahmana Sannyasis, whatever their Varna is. By Lord Chaitanya's grace, by the movement of Krishna consciousness, everyone can benefit and participate in the Sankirtan movement and attain pure love of Krishna. So Prabhupada says, even if we cannot come to this ideal standard, simply the facility, the atmosphere is there, it becomes easier to practice Krishna consciousness. That way the movement will go ahead much faster. So then, what could be the courses that we can offer? There's an old BTG article where the several courses we can have in this Varanashram college that is mentioned. So, Brahmanas, what should their courses be? That's we can easily guess. Scriptural studies, Prabhupada's books on Varanashram, teacher training courses, which we already have in ISKCON, TTC courses. Mental health courses, Ayurveda, that can be one, herbal healing, deity worship in rural communities, and about kings in the Bhagavatam, the various Rajarshi kings, how they ruled. So if these Brahmanas are trained in this aspect, they can guide the leaders of society to become Rajarshis themselves. So these are the courses recommended for Brahmanas. For Kshatriyas, religious principles, politics, social order, sociology, economics, military training, ethics and morality, sciences, management, devotional service for Kshatriyas. Sciences doesn't mean typical our modern nuclear science or other kind of sciences. But here science would mean agronomy, ecology, sanitation, dairy science. For Vaishyas, what could be the courses recommended? Fundamentals of ecology and permaculture, agronomy, developing a resource inventory, basic farming practice, animal health and reproduction, cow protection, cow care, pasture management, food grain production and processing, fiber plant production, economics, orchard skills and gardening, forestry, herd sire is you have one particular animal like Prajapati animal and how you save the breed, best breed, and increase the population. So these kind of training should be given for Kshatriyas. Sorry, Vaishyas. And for Shudras, technical drawing, implementing design and construction, woodworking and carpentry, blacksmithing, cart and wagon design, construction, road building and excavation, energy efficient house construction, paper making, shorthand, water supply and sanitation, energy forms, performance arts for preaching, visual arts for preaching, small scale textile production, vegetable dyes. Interesting courses. So this college, what are the features of this college? Students majoring in different varnas would have ample opportunity to interact with each other, interact with students of other courses in a spirit of appreciation and cooperation. Some students can come together for, even of different varnas, they can come together for one particular course. Some courses can be taught to multiple varnas depending on the subject. Brahmana should specialize in different areas of knowledge. Besides Brahminical courses, Brahmana should study subjects primarily meant for Kshatriyas, Vaishyas or Shudras also. All students should take some core subjects, such as elementary course on cow protection and course on community development. They should be common for all Varanas. Most importantly, to create a common goal and vision of our Varnashram community, all students should come together and study Prabhupada's books and instructions on Varnashram and farm community development. This is also common for all. So what we can do right now, we don't have a robust Varnashram system in today's times. So what we can do towards establishing such a system? Start with studying Prabhupada's instructions on Varnashram, understanding what he desired, what Krishna wanted, what the original Varnashram system is, understand the essence of the Varnashram system. We can start supporting cow protection. We may not be able to keep a cow or cow farms here in city, but those who are already doing cow protection, we can support them and purchase the cow-based products and provide financial assistance to such people so that they get encouraged for cow protection and make their business sustainable. That we can do. Support Krishna-conscious farmers, which also many people are already doing. Purchase their products, even if it is maybe slightly costlier, but we can get pure chemical-free products and support their activity in this way. As production increases, price will reduce. So that we can do. And mainly show appreciation for each other. Appreciate everyone's contribution in the whole Varnashram system. Understand the whole picture, how everyone is contributing to society's development, and appreciate and respect everyone's contribution without developing that superiority complex that I am a Brahmana, I am a Kshatriya, he is a Shudra. That kind of mentality we can avoid. So this way, maybe it will take several decades or centuries to have a revive the whole Varnashram system. Even if we don't revive the original Varnashram system, at least if we can revive the original essence of Varnashram, which is Krishna Bhakti, service to Krishna, that also is a big achievement to whatever degree we can achieve. So this way, Varnashram is a scientific system where everyone can benefit, everyone can progress towards the ultimate goal of life, and living in this world, the miseries of Kali Yuga will be minimized, and practice of Krishna consciousness will be, could be made easier. So that is about Varnashram. We'll also try to discuss something about Lord Varaha. Today we are fasting for Varaha Dwadashi. Varaha Dwadashi is tomorrow, but we are fasting today. So, we find this picture of Greek mythology, Atlas picking up the earth, old man struggling to hold the earth. But here we find Varahadev, we don't have a diorama here today, Varahadev effortlessly holding earth on his tusks, lifting him out of the Garbhodak ocean and replacing him on the orbit of the earth's orbit again. So the Bhagavatam describes two Varahas, two Varaha appearance. One is Shweta Varaha and the other is Rakta Varaha, the white boar and the red boar. So, white boar, Shweta Varaha, appeared in the beginning of creation of this day of Brahma. So, so Brahmaji instructed Swayambhu Manu to generate population. But Swayambhu Manu saw that the earth is not there. Earth is missing. And they came to know that the earth is submerged within the waters of Garbhodaka Sagar, within the seabed. So Brahmaji was meditating, what to do now? So from his nostril came out this insect kind of thing, which eventually turned into a huge creature of boar. So Brahmaji understood this is Lord Vishnu himself. And with a huge roar, Brahmaji was delighted to see this animal. And this animal, this Varahadev, with his huge roar, dove into the Garbhodak Sagar and lifted the earth and placed him on the orbit. So it says the sages, when they saw Varaha, they glorified the Lord as Mahidraha, which means sustainer of earth. This word can also mean great mountain, because Varahadev looks like a mountain and earth looks like a cloud on the tusk. So that is another glorification. Then the sages described the whole scene as Vibhramaha, which means beautiful and also means illusory. Why illusory? Because he did it so effortlessly. So the whole mountain lifting a cloud, so effortless. So then Varahadev came out of the water, shook his body and sprinkled that Charanamrita on everyone, and everyone felt happy. And everyone cried out, all glories to you, O Lord of the universe. So that is Shweta Varaha. And then we have Rakta Varaha. So this Varahadev was appeared in order to kill Hiranyaksha. So as we know the story, Diti gave birth to Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, and they became demons. And Hiranyakashipu was the elder brother, Hiranyaksha was the younger one. And Hiranyaksha wanted to please Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyaksha means one who sees gold everywhere, Hiranya. Aksha. So this Hiranyaksha, he mined the earth to such an extent that the earth lost its balance and came out of the orbit. And it fell into the Garbhodak Sagar. So when the earth fell, then Varahadev appeared. So Hiranyakashipu then went into, Hiranyaksha went into the waters and challenged Varunadev to fight. Varunadev said, I am not the best person to fight with you. One person will come who will be suited to fight with you. So then in his pride he came out and started challenging. So then Varahadev appeared. And when he saw Varahadev, so Varahadev lifted the earth, placed him on the orbit, and Hiranyaksha challenged. Hiranyaksha couldn't bear this, an animal coming and lifting the earth. So he said, O beast, amphibious beast, this earth is our property. You will not be able to live here if you don't return this earth to us. Today I shall smash your skull with my mace. This is how he challenged Varahadev. So Varahadev said, you coward, are you not humiliated to run away from your opponent? In this way the fight began, and at one point of the fight, Hiranyaksha snatched Varahadev's gada, mace. So everyone started wondering who will win the contest. And then the evening time was approaching, so Brahmaji started and other demigods had felt. Evening time means the Rakshasas will get more power. They become more powerful. So they prayed to Varahadev, please end the fight soon. So the fight continued. Brahma, Hiranyaksha started fighting, hitting Varahadev. And he threw his club at Varahadev. So Varahadev released his Sudarshan Chakra, cut off his mace. And he started resorting to magic spells, creating illusions. Varahadev dispelled everything. And finally, Varahadev hit Hiranyaksha below his ears. The hit was a casual one, but it hit him really hard. And that hit, he collapsed by that hit. And then eventually he died. So Lord Varahadev's cheeks were smeared with the blood of Hiranyaksha. And that made him look very beautiful. And then the sages praised everyone. Sages praised Varahadev. And everyone was happy. So in this way, Varahadev killed Hiranyaksha, protected the earth, protected all the inhabitants, and pleased the demigods also. So that is Varahadev. Sri Varahadev ki. So I'll stop here. If anyone has any comments or questions. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.